Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the South Bay Small Business Hour on Thursday, January 19th, 2012. I'm your host, Joe Terry, or as I'm known around the world, the Small Business Doctor, because I've got the prescription for your small business. You can read all about my many small business adventures on Facebook at facebook.com/JoeTerryBiz, or visit me on my website at joeterry.org. So you want to take control of your life and your finances. You want to take the plunge and start your own small business. Well, millions share that dream with you all around the world. I share that dream with you. The small personal business dream is a beautiful dream. I want to help make that dream a reality for you as your partner, mentor, or simply your friend. I call myself the Small Business Doctor. My mission is to engage hearts and minds and build knowledge and skills to help you start and or grow your own small business. The South Bay Small Business Hour, business talk that makes sense, or if you will, change. And of course, one of the most popular businesses to get involved with is a retail business. And one of the most popular retail businesses is a restaurant or a venue for live music. And we're going to talk about live music today. Live music in the South Bay, right, Jackie?
That's right. That's right. Specifically, we're going to discuss the live music scene here in the South Bay.
Yes.
The South Bay has always had an eclectic range of live music venues. The venerable Lighthouse has been around since the 1940s, and not too long ago, we had Toe's Tavern, Beach Bum Burt's, The Red Onion, Orville and Wilbur's, and Sweetwater, if any of you remember those places. With audience demands for more discerning entertainment and authentic experience, live music venues in the South Bay have risen to the occasion, providing their customers with first-rate entertainment options. So what is the state of the live music scene in the South Bay these days, and what, if any, new trends are emerging? Today we have a very special guest panel representing a few of the premier live music venues in the beach cities to answer these and other questions. From St. Rock, we have manager and promoter Katie Henley. From the Redondo Beach Performing Arts Center, John LaRocque, cultural arts manager for the city of Redondo Beach. From Cafe Boogaloo, bartender and musician Scott Eric Toll. Promoter, producer, and proprietor of Calicoa Entertainment, Mitch Chang. And later on, we may be speaking with Milo Zangle from The Lighthouse. Milo was unavailable so far this morning. So
hey, it's early.
That's right. Well, thank you all for getting up so early, and welcome to the show, everybody.
Thank you.
So, you know, what we do is we have a conversation, and one of the things that grabbed me when I first moved to the South Bay in 91 was the music scene. The music scene, I'm from Chicago, and, you know, music is a passion of mine, and the music scene here in Southern California, in Hermosa and Redondo, and even El Segundo, is really awesome. And it's, you know, in some part, some measure, due to you guys. So and gal. So we really appreciate that. So Jackie, I don't know where to start. Do we have a theme to start with?
Well, at the end of the show, we always go through the weekend events.
Right.
And normally I would mention several of the things going on at these venues that everybody's representing, but we're going to let them talk about it.
All right.
So let's start with John LaRocque from the Redondo Beach Performing Arts Center. How are you this morning, John?
Great, Jackie. Thanks for having me on.
All right. Well, can you tell us a little bit about the Performing Arts Center as far as what musical entertainment you do there?
Absolutely. You know, as a small part of the city of Redondo Beach, it's very much a small business mentality and operating the center in that we want to try and always distinguish ourselves in what is a crowded field of venues, both large and small, for all types of entertainment, including live music. I do have the pleasure of working with Mitch Chang, who you'll hear about, and I will allow him to self-promote all of his events, one of which is this Sunday afternoon. We're very excited about that. And our entertainment offerings vary from ballet and musical theater all the way to boxing, car shows, TV and filming events, and so forth. So what we do is rely on the entrepreneurs of the region and the country to bring musical theater acts to our theater. I think the trend now is that because the public's ability to discern the music scene so specifically to their taste through the web, especially for downloading of music or sourcing of music sales or live music events, it's very much a catered to brand now for music. The key, I think, is to, for all the venues, regardless of size, really to explore those niches of music that are going to apply to the demographic in which we serve. So, you know, we have a generation of entertainers in the world who, you know, used to tour on a very large songbook, and those generations are, you know, forgive me, dying off. And we have a new set of artists who are kind of flash in the pan in terms of having a catalog of music on which to tour for the remainder of their careers, which could be 20 to 40 years.
Mm.
So as promoters, we have a new responsibility to either package, you know, the quote one-hit wonder of the past 15, 20 years and put together kind of a compendium of those artists, or be very specific about a style of music as opposed to an artist, because that's where the trend goes now. We're not talking about the artists of the 50s, 60s, 70s, even the 80s, which had some strength of songbook to work with. We're talking about, you know, styles of music, whether it's heavy metal or classical or folk or a regional or a cultural style of music. It's kind of, we have to be specific about that kind of taste of the public as opposed to certain name recognition. Obviously, if we're the Nokia Center, we can book a Madonna or a Garth Brooks or a Metallica and not worry about our sales too much. But those acts are dying off, and the ability for the small business market venue really has to be to know your demographic and address their needs stylistically as opposed to artist name.
Hey, John, that's great information, because, you know, as a 51-year-old guy, you know, I can't tell you how shocking it is to me to see these young kids, high school kids, deeply, deeply into, like, Zeppelin and, you know, religious about Zeppelin and Pink Floyd and Genesis, and, you know, these are the bands of my youth and high school, and I think, wow, why is this old music so vital today with the young people? And I was watching Idol last night, and I think, you know, what I was thinking was, these voices are so beautiful and so rich and so powerful, these artists that you see with Idol and the X Factor and so forth, but they didn't do the groundwork for their art, if you will, and I'm not really sort of classifying them as artists, but a lot of artists worked for years in clubs, years, decades in clubs before they hit it big, because hitting it big meant getting on the Ed Sullivan Show or something like that. But today, if you have a great voice and you have a great delivery and you get on the X Factor or on Idol, or if you, like Justin Bieber, just have a video camera and put yourself on YouTube, you can get a million hits and get a radio or a contract. So it's a whole different world now where artists don't develop that catalog, as you're talking about.
Right. But it's, you know, and that's the new paradigm. But fortunately, there's two positives in that situation. One is, people are returning to those old artists because the quality of that music, the storytelling behind that music, is so powerful and doesn't exist today on the whole.
Right.
So, and the second positive in that is that the tribute band genre is really large now, because there are literally decades worth, multiple decades worth of artists who are paying homage to those groups that no longer exist at the original level. And so that's why, you know, whether I have, you know, a Beatles tribute band at a large venue or, you know, they go to one of the smaller venues locally like a Brixton, you know, that's a very lucrative booking because you have, you're appealing to your generation, my generation, and, you know, X, Y, proto, whatever the new words are, you know, all of those groups are now looking into that music. So you're actually increasing your ticket range by having a tribute band,
correct,
whether it's in the 50s or the 80s.
Right. Right. So that's got to be a factor when you look at the coming schedule for next year and you have promoters approaching you with a portfolio of tribute bands and then other bands which are not classic, you know, tribute bands.
Right, the ones that are trying to pay their dues, exactly.
Right. You have to say to yourself, oh, my God, I could appeal to, you know, 60, 50, 40, 30, 20-year-olds, or I could appeal to 20 and 30-year-olds, which is my best bet.
Right. Well, you know, if they're all of age, you know, your price point is as much on your concessions and your liquor as it is on your ticket. So
right, right.
As long as they're of age, welcome in.
I see. So there's only under 21 and over 21?
Well, in terms of what your break even can be on a venue, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. I
know, teeny boppers buying Coke and $10 tickets doesn't really do much for you.
Yeah, right, right. So your venue, though, is by far the biggest venue available. 1,500 seats, right?
Correct.
Right. So, you got to have a draw to fill that.
That, and it's a different kind of organic experience, you know, as in, you know, with a smaller club, you might have a mixture of seating and standing, the ability to mosh or rock fist at the front of the stage, and, you know, have a certain type of connection with the artist, which can be extremely positive and electric. In the Performing Arts Center venue at Redondo Beach, it's a slightly more organized audience experience in that it's fixed seating. There is no standing room. There is no moshing and things like that. So, you know, the typical swell to the stage, if you will, does not exist. So, you know, again, whereas my venue might appeal to a slightly more traditional audience goer who wants to be guaranteed of a seat, not be in a crush of people, not have the audience singing behind their ears and so forth, some of the experiences that the younger generation are used to and actually attracted to, you know, my audiences can tend to be a little bit more of the established demographic, if you will.
Hmm.
And then the smaller venues can provide a much more electric experience, I think, for the younger generations, plus, you know, my generation and your generation, who want to return nostalgically to that nightclub scene. So I think there's a good balance locally for both experience.
There's no question about that, and that's a perfect segue to bring in Scott Eric Toll from Cafe Boogaloo and Katie Henley from St. Rock. You know, I love both of these smaller venues. They are so uniquely, you know, uniquely appointed. St. Rock, you know, just has, you know, everything that you want in that experience where you want to take your wife out for a special evening, but you want to be surrounded by people. You want to be right there in the middle of the music. And Katie, it's wonderful.
Well, great. That's awesome. Thanks for saying so. It makes it all worthwhile, believe me.
Yeah, it's really cool. How are you guys doing in terms of the mixture of music, new artists versus classic artists, if you will, or if you will, cover tune artists?
Well, we definitely try to mix it up. I mean, if an artist is new and fresh and has a draw, then we're definitely going to look into that. But we try and showcase all genres of music and tribute bands especially. I mean, this weekend we have Dread Zeppelin, and that's one of my favorite tribute bands out there. I mean, there's something so unique and so interesting about them. They don't just play Zeppelin tunes. I mean, they play Zeppelin tunes with a reggae beat, and they have an Elvis impersonator singing. I mean, it's so fun, and people love it. But, I mean, you know, on Friday we have a band that's new and upcoming from San Francisco called Poor Man's Whiskey. So it's, we definitely try and mix it up as much as possible. I think as a music venue, that's your job. You have to showcase all talent, regardless of genre.
So now I'm the radio host, so I've got to be the guy who plays the devil's advocate in a way. For you, I'm thinking your metric, your calculus is different than John's, because, you know, every night I go to St. Rock, it's packed. I mean, the band, yes, that matters, but I'm going there because I want to have a drink, I want to have a good meal, and I want to hear some music, and I'll go. I mean, there's a lot of reasons I might not go, but rarely is it I see a band and I say, oh, I'm not going to go hear them at St. Rock. No way. So you don't have to worry about filling the venue, right?
I mean, sometimes you do. It depends, you know, on a Tuesday is a lot different than a Saturday. And we do music every night, so we definitely need to take that in consideration, too. But, I mean, yeah, we try to keep it pretty busy.
Well, yeah, I'm just saying, you know, but on a typical Saturday night, if the crowd's in town and they aren't, you know, skiing or doing whatever they're doing, St. Rock is a popular choice.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
I love it. And I mean, like I said, we do different stuff every weekend. I mean, a couple weekends ago we had Nipsey Hussle, and he's an up-and-coming hip-hop artist that used to rap with Snoop.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we do punk rock, we do blues, we do jazz. I mean, it's pretty exciting because it is different every day.
Yeah, you guys do have a very eclectic lineup.
I
see it in the paper every week. I've been there several times. And Katie, what we were discussing earlier about bands and musicians paying their dues. Is your venue one? Where are bands by the time they make it to St. Rock? I mean, do they just send you a demo? Are they on tour? Where exactly? How do they get to St. Rock?
Well, it totally depends, because we do music every night. So, I mean, on our weekends, we usually have national artists that are touring. But during the week, I mean, we showcase local artists all the time. And we kind of pride ourselves on being a home for younger musicians, where they can come and showcase their music and bring their family and friends. And we do the live stream, so you can actually stream your music live worldwide every night. Mm-hmm. So it definitely helps build a fan base. And, I mean, I love seeing local bands get excited about music and run out and promote and have their flyers and have a full house. You know, that is what gets me out of bed every morning. I love it. So
that is awesome, and I'm so glad you mentioned that, the media, and of course now internet media, is so critical to promoting bands and giving them, literally giving them that paying your dues experience and having new people hear their music. That's a critical advantage for a band, I think. And you really, as an organization, are to be commended for doing that.
Well, thank you.
You're very welcome. And, of course, you mentioned the magic word, blues. And we know everybody has a blues band in now and again, but Cafe Boogaloo and the Blues. Scott, Eric Toll, tell me, how long have you been there, Scott?
I've been there for over a year now, probably a year and a half.
Okay, so you know,
and
you are in, you go to work on hallowed ground. You know that.
Oh, yeah.
Cafe Boogaloo, man. That's my place, man.
If you want a spot for blues, definitely. If you like good New Orleans style food and some good blues music and some alligator tacos, you got to definitely come on down.
Oh,
to
alligator tacos. Stop talking about food, but tell me, what do you see as the place that Cafe Boogaloo has held? I mean, not just the old people that come in and have that image of Cafe Boogaloo from like 20 years ago, but what's the mix now? What's going on now with Cafe Boogaloo?
Oh, the mix is very diverse as far as just as people, you know, because we definitely offer the premier like bands as far as touring acts, as far as blues on the weekends, on Friday and Saturdays. But we also do the DJ and club scene afterwards with the hip hop and the lights and that whole style of just lose your mind and partying and just dancing and raging. But we also bring it down to, as I said, with the blues acts, and definitely a very mellow environment for early on, from the 8 to 11 hour. But after 11, it's party all night. We also do more intimate evenings. You know, we do Sundays with Brother Weiss. That's big. He's just an acoustic act, and he plays for like 3 hours pretty much straight on through, and he'll bring a ton of people, but we also do Tuesdays with Justin Hopkins. He's another acoustic act who's toured with people like Coldplay. So he's a very big act, and he's a really big soul artist. But we also do, you know, like we talked about, cover bands and things like that. We also do Wild Stallions and Scott White. And Scott White's an amazing guitarist as far as just technique and what he can do. Guitar, and he has a great three-piece band too. They do three-piece harmonies and everything, and they cover the range as far as we were talking about repertoire earlier. They cover the range from, you know, Zeppelin to, you know, Hard Day's Night by the Beatles, you know, they do stuff to like Katy Perry nowadays too. So, you know, it's just getting more and more diverse as the years go on, which is great. You definitely want to see that.
I, you know, being an old guy, not that old, but I'm going to take on that mantle for the sake of the show. 51, and I think to myself, you know, sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes, hey, there's no good music today. You know, all the good music, you know, in the past, there's no good music today. But of course, John Mayer, you know, came along on the scene, you know,
six years ago.
John Mayer's great. Awesome. Dude, he's amazing. He is that guy, you know, that I would, you know, crawl over broken glass and maybe take a trip to, you know, Yasgar's farm or, you know, upper state New York to see. This guy, oh my God, he's amazing. So tell me, you know, I think there's this group in Hermosa. I can't think of their names right now. It's like a weird name, like Time Energy or something. It's a young group, three-piece, blues group that blows me away every time I hear them.
Temporal Love.
Temporal Love.
You are right.
Yeah, Temporal Love.
Oh, my God.
Those guys are great, yeah.
Man.
Yeah, it's great. They're real for kids. I mean, they're only, they're less than 20. They're probably around 18, 19, but
right.
They rip it up. And then I know the brothers, Tyler and the drummer.
Yeah.
They've been playing for a long time since they were kids, and they have their bassist who sings and plays bass.
Right, Tyler Bozeman. Tyler Bozeman, that's right. I've been trying to remember. Dude, they rip it up, like you say. Wow.
Yeah, they come down to Cafe Boo every once in a while, and they always do really, really well when they play there. As far as the three-piece goes, those guys definitely hold their own. I know they play at Lighthouse. I know they probably played at St. Rock too. So
Right.
They definitely bring a crowd. Definitely, if you like good blues and from younger artists, they're definitely one of the up-and-coming bands to see.
Yeah, I've got to give a shout-out to Temporal Love. Just check them out on the Internet or on YouTube. Temporal Love rocks.
Easy, Joe, easy.
I'm trying to hold it together, but man, they blow me away. And Mitch, tell us, you know, we've been talking to venues and venue managers, cultural arts manager for the city of Redondo Beach, but what's out there with the promoter? What's happening with promoters today?
With promoters?
Yeah.
You know, unfortunately, I don't have too many friends in that arena that I can bounce things off of. You know, the theater in the Redondo Beach Performing Arts Center is, you know, I guess you'd consider it a mid-sized theater. Mm. I know some people who book for, like, the really large ones, but it's kind of a different animal, you know, when you have a 1,500-seat theater, which is...
Yeah.
between small, between big, and the demographics of where it is. And I wish I knew more people that I could, talk to about things. Mostly the people I talk to are people who do like the bookings or my tech friends who tour with the big acts and, you know, people like John who, you know, John the Rock at the theater. So I don't know. I don't get a whole lot of feedback from other promoters to say, but, well, you know, I want to say that last night I was at St. Rock having a great time.
Yeah, I want to know if you're making any money. What's up?
Well, yeah, I've been doing it since 2008. I'm still alive. I'm still able to eat a little bit better than instant noodles.
But it's got to be hard out there. I mean, you got Katie with St. Rock, you got Scott Eric Toll with Cafe Boogaloo, and John LaRock here. What are the problems? What are the issues that you see as a promoter when you walk in the door? I know, man, because I've done everything, but I used to be a promoter, or I used to be a roadie first. I was like half roadie, half performer for a band in the Midwest. And you walk into a venue and you say, I got this great band. They say, oh, let me see their tape. They don't say that anymore. They just say, where's their website? But let me hear their tape.
Depending on where you go nowadays. Some people like to see a promo pack. That's more in like Hollywood and things like that. Some people, but you know what's cool about the South Bay? There's a lot of places you can just walk in and still book a show, just to book a show, just off your personality skills. That's what's really cool about the South Bay.
I know
places like Tennessee and stuff like that. They definitely want promo packs to wear pictures, profile pictures, headshots. Definitely, you know, basically it's your resume that you're giving the bar, and if you don't have that, you basically don't get a show.
Right, because they can't know you and they can't see you just by the
I think for me, though, what's different about what I do is that, yes, there are a lot of people who contact me all the time, call, email, or whatever, and they want to be, you know, they know about the shows that I do, which is like the Hawaiian Slack Key Festival or the Flamenco Festival, the Guitar Festival. And from those three genres, you know, there's a lot of people contacting me that want to be, we've heard about your festivals or you do these shows. Sometimes they don't even know anything about it. They just say, hey, would you consider us? But for me, the shows that I put together are basically invitation only because I'm doing what I want to do. And, you know, like I said, you know, last night I was at St. Rock. I've seen great acts at St. Rock. I like going to Cafe Boogaloo and Lighthouse. Cafe Boogaloo and Lighthouse to me are places that you can go to. You don't have to know who's playing. It's just a cool place to hang out. And if you happen to like the people who are playing, then great, you know. And or I'll go to Brooklyn or City Rock to see somebody specific.
Right.
It's a slightly different vibe from Boogaloo and Lighthouse, you know. But for me, you know, I put together specific events that showcase a genre, like just, you know, for example, last year I did the Los Angeles Guitar Festival, and I chose who I wanted to have in the show, and I was pretty much able to get everybody that I wanted. You know, I had like Dick Dale and you know, Jimmy Vaughn and Tommy Emmanuel, and so when people email me or contact me saying, hey, would you have a spot for us, would you, my clients or whoever, you know, would like to be in a guitar festival, if it's someone that I don't know, or I never even had on the brain, or I check them out and then out all that, you know, then I'm not really interested. I kind of do what I want to do because that's where it's fun for me. You know, I feel like a kid in a candy store where everybody pretty much I've ever asked said yes. So I'm stoked, you know, and it's coming from a fan, you know, somebody who wants to be in the audience themselves, you know, that's, I don't know, maybe that's what makes me different from the people around here, because I do it, you know, just a few times a year, whereas they got to fill the place, you know, 7 days a week.
Right, right. So. Well, you certainly do it. What L.A. Guitar Festival, what a great event at the Redondo Beach Performing Arts Center. Amazing event. Kudos
to
you.
I wanted to add on Mitch's behalf with regard to what a promoter faces these days is the financing mechanism to bring a show to fruition at any level, whether it's a tour or a one-off show. It used to be you could really just work through Ticketmaster and have your ticket revenue and perhaps whatever on-site venue revenue you're going to gain, whether it's concessions or merch. But nowadays, you know, there is a whole career for the promoter lining up sponsors and supporters and donors and so forth, depending on the type of act you're doing. Mm-hmm. And that funding mechanism has to support what is now, you know, a major portion of your event budget for marketing and public relations, because the noise out in the world for somebody to choose an entertainment option is so busy that you have to cut through that somehow. And if you're dealing with a venue that has a reputation for a certain type of music, then as Mitch was saying, you can go to that venue and almost be guaranteed an amazing night. But if you're doing, especially if you're doing a one-off or something that people don't know about, you have to have a marketing map that is so high these days because you have to be present electronically, but you still have to be present in print media or TV and radio media, because that's where another audience literally lives to find their information still.
Right.
You have to kind of be across all those platforms media-wise. So you're talking about a lot of upfront money before you even sold a ticket. There's a lot of sponsorship that has to be identified, whether it's major sponsor or a local sponsor in the South Bay. But happily, you know, as I've observed Mitch's growth as a promoter, there are numerous South Bay businesses, because we're so heavy in our corporate footprint in the region, that want to be affiliated with all of these venues and all of these promoters locally, because they realize that even in, you know, a depressed economy, entertainment is still a very high value experience, and that's why all these places are still full. So they want to be aligned with success. And so, unfortunately, at least in Mitch's case, and I'm sure at the other venues, there are a lot of sponsors, whether they're national beer sponsors or local businesses, that are choosing to step up to the plate and help finance these acts.
Right. Well, I'm definitely.
Yeah, speaking of, now that you mentioned it, that's my challenge. St. Rob, Boogaloo, Lighthouse, you know, Brixton, if they really wanted to, they could say no cover charge tonight or half price or something, but they'll still make money off of drinks, food, on all that kind of stuff. But me, I can't do that because, that's why I need to raise backing in terms of sponsorship to help defray costs. And, it's dangerous just to live on ticket sales alone. You know, it's very, very risky. And so, like, this weekend, you know, they had the big NAMM convention, which is in Anaheim. You know, all the music manufacturers are there, Fender, Gibson, you know, Roland, whoever you can think of, and all the big stars are there. You know, you can see Slash walking around. So I can't go this year because my event coming up this weekend, but I've gone a year's pass, and, you know, I'm trying to meet with people from, you know, all these different companies and making connections and establishing relationships. And that's kind of my goal, is to, you know, grow those kinds of relationships and, you know, find where we can work together and make it a win-win, and they'll be on board because they'll get some exposure for that event. But yeah, that's my struggle, my constant struggle, and for every promoter, producer, that's what you got to do to, for these kind of one-off concerts or special events.
Right.
Speaking of pre-NAMM, did any of you go to the pre-NAMM festival on the Redondo Beach Pier, the boardwalk, last weekend?
I didn't even hear about this.
I didn't hear about it. I didn't get the memo.
Yeah, well, hey, you guys, you got to know that Jackie, SouthBayByJackie.com, she knows everything.
Well, I got to tell you, I don't know how I came across it, but when I was writing up the piece for it last week, there's an example of somebody that did not promote a show well. I couldn't even find a ticket price anyplace. There were 14 bands, heavy metal rock bands, playing at Nodge's, Louie Louie's, and Delzano's. I believe it was Saturday afternoon, started about 3, and it was going to go till the wee hours in the next morning. The guy from, is it White? Not White Snake.
Great White.
Yes, Great White.
Great White.
Yeah. Yes, he puts it on, and I saw a write up about him in one of the local papers. That's how I originally heard about it. But when I went on the internet looking for information on it, it was difficult. I had to dig to find something. I guess since none of you heard of it or went to it, they didn't do such a good job of promoting it.
Now that you mentioned it, I read the article about Jack.
It's not like we're hating on the promoter or anything. It's just that, you know, they aren't really as skilled at promoting shows as they could be. And in the new world order, as John is talking about, there's no.
Are you there, Joe?
Yeah, hi. I'm here. Can you hear
Joe?
Me?
Joe?
Yes. Hi, can you hear me? Hello?
I can hear you, Joe.
Okay.
I can hear you fine, yeah.
All right. Jackie, she can't hear me.
Jackie, the all-knowing Jackie.
Don't do that, Jackie.
Talk about Jackie. She'll call back.
Yeah. Oh, she's coming back in. I saw her blip out. Yeah. So
I don't know if it was a new thing for that promoter. You know, if it was a new thing, and if it didn't turn out the way they expected, that's always how it goes anyway. You know, you just kind of learn from those kind of things, and then you get to know the area. As you get to know the area, then you know who to reach out to and kind of be more strategic about getting the word out about your events.
Right. So, Jackie, are you back with us? Hello.
Hi, Joe. I'm there. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
I lost you guys. Did you guys lose me?
Yes, but you're back.
Okay. All right. Sorry about that. I don't know what I did.
We're all back. You know, there's lots of temporal energy around. And, you know, you got to worry about, you know, wormholes and all that. But don't worry.
Yeah. Okay.
So, I mean, okay, what's exciting is that there's so much stuff going on. But what's difficult for the promoter is there's so much stuff going on that, like John was saying, you really have to drill through the haze to give people a clear vision of what your show is so they can make a decision on whether they're going to spend their Saturday night with you or someplace else. So how do you do that, Mitch? Speaking for promoters everywhere, how do you do that? How do you drill through the noise?
I try to put on a special kind of a showcase where it's something that you'll not see anywhere else. You know, a certain collection of artists, a certain concept. It's just something that no one's doing. And, you know, the reason why I started doing the Slack Key Festival and the L.A. Flamenco Festival and the L.A. Guitar Festival is that no one was doing it, you know. Mm. The very first thing I did was the Slack Key Festival because it's something that I still want. I used to always go to see it when it was in Hawaii, you know, when someone was doing it in Hawaii. Mm. I really enjoyed it. And when I was living up here, when I moved up here, I was talking to a good friend. I'm like, you know, I actually really enjoy going to the Slack Key Festival in Hawaii. How come this is not happening up here? Maybe I didn't do it, you know, and that's how it came about. So I forgot what I was going to say after that. But,
well, aloha, brother. Yeah. I think I did sort of detect that that laid-back accent, but now I know it's for real.
Yeah, I'm pretty laid back, especially at 7:30 in the morning.
Well,
no, but
I mean, you're from the islands, right?
Yes.
Cool.
Oh, so what I was going to say is that, you know, I put together something that, you know, people can look forward to year-round. I mean, in a sense, you know, they're like, oh, I can't wait till next year, or right. I can't wait till next month. I had a really good time,
right.
And you know, but there's a lot of build up to that, you know.
Right.
Mitch is exactly right. You know, I mean, obviously, if you're doing a national or any kind of large regional, you have to do major media buys, whether it's television or radio.
Right.
But if you're doing local promotion, you know, your job Like Mitch's job on Sunday is not for his Sunday concert. It's for the concerts that follow that Sunday concert and how he mobilizes the attendees of Sunday's show for all of his upcoming events. That's the job for Sunday, is to be working ahead. So whatever venue you're going to, whether it's promoted in-house or promoted outside the house, the job that night is not so much the audience for that night. It's more so what you do with that audience for your next event that night.
You mean pre-promotion of the next event?
Absolutely.
At every event.
The only like, if you're not doing a major media buy, the only time you have that collective group there to address is that night, that event. So whatever they, when they come on Sunday for Mitch's event, they already have their ticket. That job is done. It's what are we going to tell them on Sunday about the next 10 events that Mitch might be doing? Or in my case, what am I telling that audience about all the other events besides Mitch's that my venue is having? So that's the job when you have that campus group.
Right.
Hey, Katie, can you, I see St. Rock's ads in the local papers and on the web. How, what other ways do you guys promote your shows?
Well, we do a lot of third-party advertising and listings on, like, jambase.com and Reverb Nation. We do a lot of street team work as well. I mean, I have a crew of interns that just get out there in the street on the pier and just talk to people. We rely a lot on the bands, too, to promote their shows, and we offer bonuses based on their draw and kind of some incentives, you know. But, yeah, I mean, a lot of third-party websites. Like, I'm a music fan first and foremost, and so I know where I go to get my information about shows, so I make sure that our lists are always updated and current, too. So.
Oh, you could advertise on my website.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Oh, that's good to know. Scott, what do you guys do?
LA Weekly is a big one. Easy Reader for local, obviously Facebook, and then we have everybody at the bar promote too.
How far out do you reach?
As far as the LA Weekly goes, it's all of LA. So we try to reach all of LA. So definitely close to town too.
One of my standard, you know, techniques, Scott, Eric, is that, you know, if I know that I got a taste for the Boogaloo, what I'll do is I'll get there, I don't know, about 7:30, maybe, and get a seat, because it gets a little bit busy there around 8:30,
yeah,
9 o'clock.
Definitely towards when the bands are just about to kind of setting up and getting ready. Sometimes it's actually good to call in. You can call our number at 310-318-2324, and there's always somebody to take a reservation. And we can sit at you wherever you like. You just tell us your name and your party and what time you want to come in, and we'll just reserve a table for you.
Whoa, wait a minute.
That's actually really good.
You can reserve, like, a space for, like, four people or six people?
Yeah, definitely. The only time we really don't do reservations is if maybe there's, like, a really big football game and it's kind of first come, first serve. But most of the bands... we take reservations all the time, and it's rare when we actually have a cover charge for bands or even for a DJ or the clubs later at night. It's really pretty rare. It's got to be a pretty big artist if we're actually doing a cover charge. So it's usually free entertainment for the most part, which is great. You know, who doesn't love free entertainment?
Yeah, no question about that. I have a number of favorite tribute bands. I hate to keep mentioning them, but Zepp again, of course, local. A great Zeppelin tribute band. There's this band. Oh, they're GTLORocks.com. GTLORocks.com. Get the lead out. Rocks.com, the American Led Zeppelin. But when I tried to promote them a couple years ago to come to the Redondo Beach Performing Arts Center, they wanted something like $8,000 or $9,000 or $10,000 guarantee. And yeah,
Some bands want a lot. Some bands definitely they definitely try to get as much as they can out of you.
Yeah, so that was...
Yeah, and they got to shoot for the moon, you know, I mean...
Oh, okay, one at a time.
Katie?
Yeah, well, I mean, they're going to throw out a huge offer right away. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's just good business, but, I mean, like, I just remember I was trying to book this Prince tribute band, and right away he said 10 grand, and I was like, ooh, yikes. But, I mean, of course they're going to throw out a huge number right away. Then you just got to negotiate a little bit.
But I see.
Sometimes it's worth it. I mean, if they're going to fill the room.
I see. I should.
That, or, you know, if you're nervous as a promoter about a high guarantee and there's no negotiation there, you obviously can have a lesser guarantee and then split the back end with the group so that, as they were saying, as the others were saying earlier, they become as responsible for the promotion of the event and the sales of the event because their income is dependent upon the ticket sales. So you can actually spread your burden of sales and marketing with the artist if you're doing a back end split.
Mm-hmm.
Does Redondo Beach Performing Arts Center, do they do a deposit on the house? Like, I know, like, places like the Forum or Staples Center, if you want to perform a venue, let's say, like, the Foo Fighters want to rent out the Forum, it's like a $100,000 deposit. Does Redondo Beach Center, do they do that too?
We have a deposit. I wish it was $100,000, I'll say that, but it's not. But we do have an upfront deposit and then, you know, a balancing usually after the show. Based on, you know, ticket sales performance. Plus, you know, we're trying to develop as many relationships with promoters as we can. So if someone, you know, in our estimation has staying power in the region, then we want to encourage them to return to us as many times as possible to, you know, get their legs and, you know, build up, you know, hopefully an email blast list, an audience following, and a name reputation so that they do come back and it's more business for us, more business for them, and plus more activity for the community to experience.
Right, right.
Yeah, definitely. The more stuff we can be able to do in the South Bay is the better for all of us.
That's what this show is all about.
The vitality, the young, the old, that you can find in the South Bay is just amazing. This place. Whatever it is about this place, and it isn't about money. It's not about money or people that have money. It's about the locals too. You know, we haven't even mentioned, you know, several, you know, great venues, local and we won't mention them, their names in vain. But I will say every once in a while I'll get a call from a group or a friend or somebody, and they'll say there's something happening at Susie Q's, and we want to go there because that's a great venue as well. It's off the beaten path. It's not on the strip or, you know, our own strip, be it Hermosa or Redondo, but Susie's is a great place too. So,
well, I contacted several other venues
sure.
that you know, everybody's busy and they just didn't get an opportunity to get back to me. So unfortunately, they're not represented today.
Don't they know how important we are?
They obviously don't. But I got to tell you, one of my favorite places to go is Starboard Attitude.
Down
on the pier. I mean,
right.
You know, they have, particularly for their blues bands.
Right.
I left a message, several messages for the people at Brixton. I mean, there's a wide array of venues for just about any type of music.
Right.
That you want to see. There's a good selection.
So this is the time when I want to start asking the typical radio host kinds of questions. So we'll start with Katie. Katie, I know that your very first choice for live music in the South Bay is Saint Rock. What's your second choice?
Second choice, probably the Lighthouse.
Amen.
Definitely.
Amen.
I've been going since I first moved out here like 10 years ago. So.
Yeah, yeah. Scott Eric Toll, Cafe Boogaloo, Can't Beat It. What's number two for you?
Can't really beat it. As far as sound goes in the South Bay, it's definitely Boogaloo and Saint Rock. Well, besides Redondo Beach, I mean, that's a whole theater hall. That's a whole other situation. But as far as small venues, definitely Boogaloo and St. Rock, and Brixton's close third, definitely.
Well, Brixton reminds me of, you know, the Liverpool kind of cave experience, that small, dank,
Underground.
Rectangle bar.
Yeah, right, man. Right. I mean, that's the classic, right? Is the beauty shop that turns into a bar, or the you know, whatever store front that turns into a bar and a nightclub, and Brixton has that kind of feel to it. So John,
yeah,
John, you're representing the big dog. The Performing Arts Center, the speaker series with, you know, world leaders and so forth. But of course, your first choice for various entertainment options would be the Redondo Beach Performing Arts Center. What's number two for you, John?
Well, locally, I have to support Redondo Beach businesses just because I work for the city. So, you know, I actually do enjoy going to Brixton when I'm available to do so. I mean, my job is, you know, almost every night there. But,
yeah.
You know, Brixton to me represents kind of the opposite experience from the outside there, because there's kind of a wonderful kind of danger going down into that
Jane.
Room. you know, I mean, I'm in my mid-40s, and I often feel out of place down there. But, you know, the sheer kind of visceral experience and volume of that room,
right,
is really kind of wonderful. And, you know, I've always felt like it could be the scene of a, you know, an S&M club as much as a concert hall.
Right.
And not that I'm looking for that, but it's that kind of, you know, there's a muscularity about that room that is really
right.
kind of interesting to me.
Right.
And again, because, you know, the Performing Arts Center is so remotely located, we don't, you know, our disadvantage is, you know, we can't generate foot traffic to come to the facility. There's not a lot of options for hotels, restaurants, things like that near us. Brixton, to me, you know, being right on the pier there and having all the options for sightseeing, tourism, restaurants, other stores, to me, is the opposite. And so I enjoy seeing that, just, you know, for inspirational purposes. But frankly, you know, I'll go to every venue I can just because
mm-hmm.
I'm there 50% for the entertainment, but I'm there 50% to see what other professionals are doing with their venue.
Yeah, we're getting a little...
How they're managing their venues, how they're promoting them, how they're treating their customers. I pay attention to the customer experience, good or bad, so that I can take the best of and try and bring it back to how my venue operates.
Right.
Joe, we're getting an echo now.
Yeah, I'm sorry. You know, the guy on the board, he's just not balancing the music very well. But we'll see if he can get it together in a bit. You know, I...
Well, if he's playing music, that's a good thing.
Yeah, I thought, you know, this show, I gotta get this organized with my radio setup so that it can be a little bit cleaner. But I just had to. This is a music show. You cannot have a music show without music.
Exactly.
That does not compute. So
right. All about, none of us need to be speaking. We just need to be having our music played.
Yeah, man. I mean, you know, the South Bay, I love it. I moved here in 85 to California, but I moved to the South Bay in 91. And, you know, I was certainly a bigot. I was certainly thinking, you know, Southern California can't show me nothing. I'm from Chicago. But I've learned last 20 years. I've seen some amazing stuff, and what we're listening to right now are kids. These are children. I literally, Tyler and Zach Bozeman, I knew them when they were 2 years old, and they just blow me away. And I had to give them, you know, let the show rock out with them at the end.
Hey, Joe.
Yeah.
We've just got a couple of minutes left. I was hoping that everybody on the panel could go through and let us know what they're doing at their particular venues this weekend.
Please.
Katie, want to start with you?
Sure, yeah. Well, tonight we have our Roots Rock Thursdays, which is our reggae bands and really awesome drink specials and stuff. It's super fun. Tomorrow, I said there's that jam band from San Francisco called Poor Man's Whiskey, and they're also playing with some local guys called Green Blossom String Band. That's a band you guys need to check out. There's nothing I love better than seeing a group of 20-something guys playing upright bass and fiddle. You know, it's pretty awesome. And Saturday, we have Dread Zeppelin, and Sunday, we have Kim Wilson from the Fabulous Thunderbirds, one of the best harmonica blues players in the world. So it's going to be an exciting weekend, definitely.
Ooh, that sounds like fun. I love the fiddle, too.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you throw in a fiddle or a banjo, and I'm sold, man. Absolutely.
Hey, Mitch, you've got a big show coming up this weekend. Tell us about it.
It's the 5th annual Southern California Slack Key Festival. Mm-hmm. A lot of people might not know what Slack Key is. I'm sure you've heard it before. It's in the new movie. It's all over the new movie, The Descendants, which just won a couple of Golden Globe Awards. And it scored that entire movie with just pre-recorded Hawaiian music, 99% Slack Key. And Slack Key is, you can take any guitar. It's just open tuning. But it's a tradition that comes down from the old days of Hawaii. And in fact, if you pick up the Beach Magazine today, you know how they have the Easy Reader Inside Beach Magazine once a month?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. They did a really nice article. It's going to be right on the front page of the Easy Reader today. And it's a really interesting story about how it came to be, and now it's a worldwide phenomenon. And it's basically a Hawaiian show with an emphasis on slack key guitar music. And there are people who are, what we call kupuna, who are the elders, of the tradition, as well as the younger people. There's instrumental, there's singing, there's going to be hula dancing, like really top-notch hula. And that starts at 2 o'clock on Sunday afternoon, goes till around 5. And meanwhile, outside, for people who want to come and browse, starting at 11 o'clock, and hopefully we'll have the kind of weather we're having today, we have a big island marketplace where there's Hawaiian food, shave ice, vendors, arts and crafts, and outdoor entertainment. And it's going to be really a lot of fun.
Well, that's awesome.
Yeah, but just once a year, and, nothing else is happening in January Hawaiian-wise, but it's still Southern California. We have great weather here, so why not?
Mm-hmm. Great.
Scott, Eric, what have you guys got going on tonight, this weekend?
We got a really good lineup this weekend. Tonight, we actually have Scott White and his bands performing. Friday, we have two bands, actually. We have Midnight Lamp. They're going to perform around 5:30. And then we have Eric Sardinas. He's going to do the night shift. He's going to be on around 9 o'clock. And Saturday, we're going to do Sherry Porto. She's a really good blues artist. Her and her husband, a really good band. And then Sunday, we're doing Brother Weiss, and he's going to rock the place all night. That's going to be really good. And the following week, we're going to have JMD, and they're a really good reggae band from Hawaii. They're going to rock out, too.
Mm.
It's going to be great.
Got a little bit of everything going on, huh?
Yeah.
Definitely, always.
All right, listen, I just have a couple of things I need to... Joe, I just have a couple of things
sure.
I wanted to mention.
Sure.
I'm not going to get into too much, but this weekend, Saturday, January 21st, Bristol Farms in Rolling Hills had their grand reopening this week, and on Saturday they'll be hosting an open house to welcome back shoppers. The event features cooking demonstrations, food and product tips, live music, and raffle. Bristol Farms is located at 837 Silver Spur Road in Rolling Hills Estates. For more information, you can call 310-377-9904. And I wanted to mention that today on RedondoBeachPatch.com,
mm-hmm.
They are featuring one of my articles, the highly anticipated, much-awaited fried chicken article.
Yes.
On where to find fried chicken in the South Bay. So that's on Redondo Beach Patch today. So as always, check the calendar links and things to do page on my website, www.southbaybyjackie.com, for details on these and other events throughout the South Bay.
And that is what we call a show. I mean, we have Katie Henley from St. Rock and Mitch Chang from Kalakoa Entertainment and Scott Eric Toll from Cafe Boogaloo and John LaRock from the Redondo Beach Performing Arts Center. Thank you all for joining us. It's been awesome. What a great show.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. We're going to do this again. We're going to do more music shows, and of course with South Bay by Jackie.com. We are focused on the South Bay. We want to give people more information. More information is always better than less, and we want them to be able to make an informed decision with you guys are representing the premier venues and promotion companies, and we want to highlight you so that people feel closer to the music. That's what it's all about, being closer to the music. And Jackie, thank you so much. What a great show.
Always a pleasure, Joe.
Wow. Love it. So thank you very much, everyone. South Bay Small Business Hour, business talk that makes sense. Thank you for joining us. We'll see you again shortly. All right. Bye-bye now.